Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, I'm Denisa, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. Legacy Community Forum tonight. District officials to discuss problems at Legacy Freshman High School with public. There was a time when Midland City Councilman John Norman walked the halls of Legacy Freshman High School, then Lee Freshman. He participated in sports, choir, and other activities. Today, he lives right around the corner from the freshman campus. I was close to it then and am close to it now, Norman said Monday. That is one reason he is participating in a community forum about some higher-profile incidents that have taken place at the school. Michael Booker, school board member for District 1, is putting together the community meeting, which is set for 7 tonight at the MLK Junior Community Center. Booker said Monday that the meeting, on the Midland ISD side, is for the community to hear from Principal Candace Warren about what she has planned for LFHS moving forward, hear about concerns and possible solutions from the community, and also to see how the community parents can get involved in helping out and assisting on the campus when needed. Booker told the Reporter Telegram in an email that he hopes to get more parents involved with the children at that campus, and for the community to take note that Mrs. Warren and MISD is taking the past events seriously and working to do what's best to make LFHS a better campus than how the community looks at it. Norman wants to see what can be done around the school and beyond as a community takes care of a campus with issues made worse by iPhones and social media. He said obviously technology has made the community more aware of instances where students, leaders, and the community can do better. He also said he wants the school district and community to recognize that more is needing to happen to tell the good things taking place. County to give raises to staff. Stipends put aside to not show preference to some departments. The stipends for Midland County employees in the fiscal year 2023 budget have become raises. The Midland County Commissioner's Court put the stipends to the side and voted on a budget that includes 4% raises for most employees. The idea was put forth by County Judge Terry Johnson after multiple department heads came forward looking for comparable treatment to other departments where raises had been provided. Johnson had originally authored a budget that put employees on track for stipends, which would have provided more money on a one-time basis. One by one, department heads came forward, allowing commissioners to have conversations about which employees should get salary increases. The most high profile of those receiving raises during the budget hearings in August were in the Midland County Sheriff's Office, with some receiving 15% salary increases to help the department with hiring. However, when commissioners previously met during budget hearings, the county clerk also had been able to secure raises for some of her employees. The district clerk followed. On Monday, those in line included the Justice of the Peace's Office for Death Investigators, the District Attorney's Office for Environmental Investigators, and attorneys and Karen Hood in the Tax Office. It was there that Randy Prude stated the need to be fair to those employees like Robin Donnelly and Scott Ramsey had previously stated earlier in Monday's meeting. About the raises for the Sheriff's Office employees, Commissioner Louis Sanchez had stated, "I don't want people leaving the court thinking we care about one group and not the other." He stated the raises for Sheriff's Office employees were to help fill vacancies and the overtime being worked. Johnson commented early on Monday that the minute we give the sheriff's department a raise, everyone is coming back and new people are showing up. About Laura Nodolf's request for raises for her district attorney's office staff, Johnson commented a $250,000 impact to We the People, and that's just for one department. Johnson's proposed budget had included a $2.5 million increase for the sheriff's office. Johnson's proposed budget called for general fund expenditures of $104.34 million, the highest going back to at least 2017. The previous high was $101.95 million in 2019. Last year, general fund expenditures were $97.625 million. The general fund is supported mostly by property and sales tax revenue. Attempts to reach the county auditor on how changes Monday impacted expenditures were unsuccessful. In 2021, according to the city, the average home value inside city limits was $295,000. Combined with a tax of 0.141635 cents per $100 valuation, that resulted in county taxes of $417.82. For the upcoming fiscal year, the average home value inside the city, according to the Perryman Group, is said to be $325,000. Combined with a proposed tax of 0.141635 cents per $100 valuation, that would result in taxes of $417.82. A public hearing about the county's tax rate is scheduled for September 22nd. MDC shifts funds to Todd Road Overpass Design. Members of the Midland Development Corporation took steps at their monthly meeting to accelerate expansion of Midland's Todd Drive and overpass at County Road 1160. Board members unanimously approved a resolution amending the MDC's economic agreement with the city that committed $1.73 million to purchase right-of-way to widen Todd Drive between Business Interstate 20 and Loop 250, from north of Loop 250 to Occidental Parkway, and then design an overpass at Todd Drive and Loop 250. The amended agreement reduces the funding for right-of-way purchases to $755,939.01, shifting $974,060 to funding design of the overpass. The $974,060 will be paid to Kimley Horn under a professional services agreement to design main line, bridge, and intersection improvements at Todd Drive and Loop 250. Those designs will be donated to the Texas Department of Transportation so that the project will be shovel-ready when any TxDOT funding becomes available. James Beecham, president of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, briefed board members on infrastructure projects and initiatives, telling them having two interstate designations, I-14 and I-27, was significant in potentially opening opportunities for other future projects. Beecham said his organization expects to spend a lot of time this year on advancing the Interstate 14 designation, working with the I-14 caucus to get additional funding for an implementation study. The most important aspect is better connections to ports, he told the board members, citing the Port of Savannah in Georgia, the nation's third busiest port. Savannah already exports some liquefied natural gas and crude and wants to expand, he said, which would give Permian Basin operators another option to send their product. After his presentation, board members approved a resolution executing an economic development agreement with Motran for $142,500 to continue Motran's work raising funds and promoting infrastructure projects in the Permian Basin. "We've been supporting Motran since 2010, noted Stephen Lowry, MDC board chairman. Ann Hankins, part of Midland Community Theater's Strategic Planning Steering Committee, made a presentation on the theater's capital campaign to fund expansion of the theater and requesting $100,000 from the MDC for the project. "We'd love you to part of the project and finish theater founder Art Cole's vision," she said. The expansion has three aspects: double the size of the lobby, do away with the small, barely used amphitheater, and use that space to double, almost triple the space for educational programs, which serve about 800 Midland kids, and third, technical upgrades that would convert the back wall of the main stage into a 1,200-square-foot LED wall, one of, if not the largest LED walls in the country. Finally, board members approved an $80,000 consulting services agreement with the Perryman Group to provide economic indices and reports. MDC Executive Director Sarah Harris said the reports Perryman provides are well viewed on the corporation's website and are also highly requested by developers looking at the Midland marketplace. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton ask that the board consider supplementing Perryman's work with reports from other consultants every couple of years so that the reports aren't seen as saying what we want them to say. Permian's future depends on commitment to collaboration. Texas was made great by a spirit of independence and innovation. While we continue to build on this foundation, our ability to collaborate locally, regionally, and statewide will ultimately power us through some of the state's most pressing issues. Midland and Odessa are uniquely positioned to lead the state in this style of collaboration. By bolstering our regional alliances, we can tackle Texas's great challenges and ensure the Permian Basin continues to thrive. From the 30,000-foot view, this shouldn't be difficult. Midland-Odessa is an economic driver for the state. One of the largest energy hubs in the world, the area generates billions of dollars in gross domestic product, supports more than 500,000 jobs, and continually leads the nation toward energy independence. Even with that success, this region and our state face challenges that have been heightened by the pandemic, such as strengthening our education system, readying the workforce, and expanding broadband access. These issues were top of mind for our Midland and Odessa Chambers of Commerce when Texas 2036, along with board member Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of the Permian Strategic Partnership, hosted a luncheon for business and community leaders in late spring. The big takeaway? Sharing ideas and joining forces better equips us to keep up with an evolving business landscape that's still recovering from the pandemic. And this starts with education. Too many schools across the state are failing to meet the needs of our students. For starters, only half of students are performing at grade level in reading, and only one-third earn post-secondary credentials, something more than a high school diploma. However, we're making strides. Both Midland ISD and Ector County ISD recently earned their best Texas Education Agency School Performance Ratings, also known as the AF ratings, since the system began in 2017. Collectively, We would also be stronger if school and business connections deepened across city limits with a unified goal of keeping more of our talent pool in the region. The backbone to keeping our education and workforce pipeline moving in the Permian Basin and across Texas is broadband. But 1 in 4 Texans don't have access to reliable, high-speed internet at home, including 10% without any internet access at all. Working together, Ector County ISD and the Permian Strategic Partnership have developed a potential model to overcome this by teaming up with SpaceX to provide free internet service to local families, already reaching about 150 and counting. These are the types of partnerships Texas 2036, a nonprofit dedicated to solving Texas's big challenges, has been exposed to as part of a 10-region statewide roadshow. The tour fostered dialogue about the issues that matter most to local communities and how can we work together to support those causes at the Capitol. Throughout the roadshow, we've seen a consistent theme emerge, a renewed enthusiastic spirit toward collaboration from the RGV partnership in the Rio Grande Valley to the Borderplex Alliance in El Paso and Greater, SATX in San Antonio. Midland and Odessa have been fostering regional collaborations for years, from the Two Cities No Limits campaign last decade to the current efforts of the Permian Strategic Partnership, working with our local chambers. It's time to reinvigorate and recommit to this cause. It's a lesson for all of Texas. The more we collaborate to solve our biggest issues, the better we can stake our historic claim as the state of independence and innovation that put us on the map in the first place. Midland man on Texas 10 Most Wanted Fugitives list. A Midland fugitive has been added to the Texas 10 Most Wanted Fugitives list. Antonio Martinez Gonzalez, 41, is wanted for assault by impeding breath/circulation and parole violation. Original offense, possession of a controlled substance. Gonzalez is affiliated with the West Texas Tango gang and has ties to Midland and to Mexico, according to the DPS bulletin. On February 24, 2021, Gonzalez was arrested in Midland for assault of family/household member by impeding breath/circulation and subsequently bonded out, according to the bulletin. The Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles issued a warrant 2 days later for his arrest for a parole violation. The Midland County Sheriff's Office also issued an arrest warrant for his arrest on May 3, 2021, for assault by impeding breath/circulation. Gonzalez had previously served time in the early 2000s after convictions for burglary of a building, retaliation, and unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. In 2006, he was convicted of injury to a child and sentenced to 2 years of probation, which was later revoked and replaced with a 6-month sentence in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. In 2009, he was convicted of assault against a public servant and received a 2-year sentence. In 2015, he was given a 3-year sentence after a DWI conviction. And in 2017, he was convicted of possession of a controlled substance and received an 8-year sentence. He was released on parole in June 2019. Texas Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward up to $7,500 for any information that leads to Gonzalez's arrest. callers will remain anonymous. To be eligible, tipsters must provide information to authorities using one of the following methods. Call the Texas Crime Stoppers hotline at 800-252-8477. Submit a web tip through the Texas 10 Most Wanted website or Facebook page, and submit a tip through the DPS mobile app. Gonzalez should be considered armed and dangerous, according to the bulletin. MCSO Honor Guard, part of the national anthem at Cowboys game. The Midland County Sheriff's Office Honor Guard was in attendance Sunday at the Dallas Cowboys season opener game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The MCSO sent four members of the Honor Guard to represent the agency during the presentation of colors, according to the MCSO's spokesperson. First responders from across Texas covered the field from end zone to end zone with the American flag. They were all in attendance for first responder appreciation, according to the MCSO's spokesperson. Along with MCSO, the Midland and Odessa Police Departments were also in attendance. The Cowboys lost 19-3. Check out these adoptable animals. Want to adopt? There are plenty of dogs and cats waiting for their forever home. Midlanders will have the opportunity to meet a few of these animals at Bark in the Park on Wednesday during the Midland Rockhounds game, or this week at Midland Animal Services. Every week, volunteer photographer Tasha Sport photographs some of these animals available for adoption. The adoption fee is $62 and includes microchip, rabies vaccination, license, tag, and halter. To adopt one of these pets, call the shelter, 1200 North Fairground Roads, to set an appointment at 432-685-7420. The shelter is open 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Tuesdays through Thursdays, and 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Fridays. Hello, this is Denisa, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, obituaries and death notices for Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. David Wiggum. David Wiggum, 72, of Midland, passed away September 10th, 2022. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, September 19th, 2022, at First Baptist Church Sanctuary in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Garrett Casey. Garrett Casey, 22, of Midland, passed away September 2nd, 2022. Memorial service will be held at 4:30 p.m. Friday, September 16th, 2022, at the branch at NPW. Service will be directly followed by a reception at the Ranchland Hills Golf Club, 1600 East Wadley Avenue, Midland, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Guadalupe Ornelas. Guadalupe Ornelas, 30, of Midland, Texas, passed away September 9th, 2022. Visitation will be on Tuesday, September 13th, 2022, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m., with a rosary service at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, September 14th, 2022, at St. Anne's Catholic Church Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Mary A. Showalter. Mary A. Showalter, 92, of Midland, passed away August 27, 2022. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, September 16, 2022, at Parks Faudray Family Chapel at Manor Park in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Rosa Huertron. Rosa Huertron, 68, of Midland, passed away September 9, 2022. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Tuesday, September 13, 2022, at the branch at MPW, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 13th. Buoy teacher not back at school yet. Students who filmed attack disciplined. The teacher who was recorded being attacked by a student at Buoy Middle School last week did not return to school Monday, and there are no word on what kind of injuries she received. A Buoy Middle School 8th grader was arrested by Ector County ISD police and charged with the first-degree felony of aggravated assault of a public servant September 7th. Multiple videos of the incident, which are on Facebook, show the teacher and the 14-year-old student arguing about a cell phone before things got physical as the male student attempted to retrieve his confiscated cell phone from the female teacher. Ector County ISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said in a text message Monday, the students who videoed the incident received discipline. As of press time Monday, it was not clear what type of discipline those students received. Typically, ECISD officials cannot detail discipline for specific students. The video shows the student touching the teacher while trying to get the phone out of her desk, her pushing him away, and then him taking her to the ground and beating her. At one point, her head can be heard banging against a desk. Officials said last week that the administration does not want students to step in during fights, but rather to alert an adult. As with any incident on campus, Adkins said it will be reviewed with everyone involved, including the teacher, when she returns. The teen is scheduled to be back in court September 22nd for another detention hearing. Juveniles are entitled to detention hearings at the Ector County Youth Center every 10 days. According to school authorities, students accused of engaging in potentially criminal behavior go through the criminal justice system and the school disciplinary system on separate tracks. District officials are required to follow Chapter 37 of the Texas Education Code, which includes the Student Code of Conduct when dealing with such matters. The code details methods and options for managing students in the classroom and on school grounds. Disciplining students and preventing and intervening in student discipline problems. The law requires the district to define misconduct that may or must result in a range of specific disciplinary consequences, including removal from a regular classroom or campus, out-of-school suspension, placement in a disciplinary alternative education program, placement in a juvenile justice alternative education program, or expulsion from school. Ector County ISD officials issued a statement Thursday night. This is shocking and terrible and will not be tolerated. We have been dealing with fights and violence recently and want our community to know that Behavior is unacceptable, and we will do all we can to prevent it. The student was arrested and charged with a first-degree felony and will also face disciplinary action through the Student Code of Conduct. We have watched violence among children on the rise here, around the state and across the country. We know our children are hurting and need us to address mental health challenges, while we also hold them accountable for their actions. Our district will continue to address these concerns with students and families, the statement said. Panel tackles topics of civil liberties, rights. The topic of equal protection and religious freedom were among those discussed at order in the court with the topic of Constitution Day, civil rights, and civil liberties. Hosted by Odessa College at the Dick and Amelia Salisbury Conference Room in the Electronics Technology Building, it featured a diverse panel of judges, professors, and students. The continuing educational series is meant to provide unbiased information to the public. Daniel Regalado, professor of government and history, was the moderator. Autumn Zimmerman, professor of history, said, "The reason the Constitution passed is because of the Bill of Rights. Without the Bill of Rights and without the allocation of civil liberties into the United States, the Constitution would never have passed," Zimmerman said. Political science instructor Ryan Ledbetter said it goes back to early forms of politics in the U.S. "We had to get buy-in from more states and from more people, specifically Rhode Island and North Carolina, that didn't want to ratify the Constitution without the Bill of Rights being present," Ledbetter said. Regalado brought up a recently passed Texas law that mandates that schools have to post an In God We Trust poster where you can see it. He said that brought up a case, Reynolds versus United States, 1878. Reynolds was a Mormon who practiced polygamy, and federal law claimed it was illegal, Regalado said. Reynolds claims his freedom of religious rights were being violated. The case went to the Supreme Court, and Regalado said, "The question was, do you have the right, as far as freedom of religion, to believe in what you want to believe? We know now that yes, you do have the right, but you can't break the law." So the court rules against Reynolds, saying basically, you have the right to believe what you want, but you can't break the law. The cheesy joke I always tell my students is, you have the right to believe human sacrifice is going to get you wherever you want to go to, but you can't actually practice that right, Regalado said. Zimmerman cited Snyder versus Phelps, which centered on freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Fred Phelps is a prominent leader of Westboro Baptist Church, which commonly protests military funerals. They protest them because of the larger conflict, she said. They claim that war is going to damn people, and they claim that the tolerance of homosexuality inside of the United States is going to basically send us all down under instead of up above. In order to protest this inside of the United States, they've decided to protest it in the form of military funerals because homosexual individuals have been allowed to maintain military status. Because they disagree with this, they started with Alfred Snyder's son, who was a lance corporal who died in 2006 in Iraq, and they publicly told the church, who was presiding over the funeral, that they were going to protest the funeral. They held up signs saying that the military was going to cause God to rage down on the United States, and that these public issues were going to basically cause all of us to go to hell. They would post signs that said, "God hates the United States. God hates the United States, so he sent the terrorists to attack on 9/11. As a result, Alfred Snyder ended up taking it to court. He felt that this was violation of his mental health. He felt this was a violation of his son and things that really caused a lot of emotional turmoil inside of him, Zimmerman said. He took it to the Supreme Court, arguing that this violated his inherent right to happiness. Phelps argued that he had the right to freedom of speech and religion because his religion is adamant that people of the LGBTQ+ community should not exist, and he's also adamant in the idea that publicly supporting these ideals and this form of ideology is going to result in a bad scenario for the United States. And because they were doing this on public ground, in a public way, and they weren't privately attacking the Snyder family, but were rather publicly arguing over public issues, Zimmerman said, they decided in a 8-1 Supreme Court decision that the Westboro Baptist Church did have protections of religious values and the freedom of speech, so they could not prevent them from protesting military funerals. Ledbetter discussed the case of the Bremerton, Washington high school football coach who was not rehired following the 2015 season after praying with students on the 50-yard line following games. The Kitsap Sun reported. He added that this was a really important case on how we view religious freedom in the United States. The high court said it's okay to practice religion regardless of employment status or position. I think we view this as sort of a narrow window before, and I think it widens that window a lot in a lot of ways, Ledbetter said. 446th District Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley said, it's tough to be on a court. Any court is required to not legislate from the bench. There are three branches of government, very distinctive for a reason, and quite honestly, you don't want any of us legislating from the bench. But I think the Supreme Court has a difficult job in that they only accept certiorari in certain cases, and so when they do, a lot of times those cases involve more than one of your inalienable rights, and it's a balancing act for jurists, Billingsley said. Ledbetter said, we're all in a social contract with the federal government. We give up certain things in order to have certain protections, and those protections are given to us in the Bill of Rights, but we also have to give a certain level of freedom in order to exercise those rights for everyone and everyone to have equal protection, Ledbetter said. Billingsley said people should know their rights and know why they draw a distinction between a civil liberty and a civil right. A civil liberty is a freedom guaranteed under the Constitution, and a civil right guarantees of equal social opportunities and equal protection under the law, regardless of race, religion, or other personal characteristics. The Britannica website said, know your rights, know what you are entitled to, know what you can stand for, know how you can stand up for the things that matter, Billingsley said. Alexandra Garcia, who attended the discussion, said it was very educational and she enjoyed it. She wished more people had attended because it included things people need to know. There are fires we need to take out all over the country, so it's showing up things like this and knowing more, like one of the people said on the panel, know your rights. It's very important, because especially with sexism and racism and all this religious stuff, it's so important to be able to fight these battles, Garcia said. Quick hits. PBAA 15th Golf Fundraiser. The Permian Basin Apartment Association has scheduled the 15th annual golf tournament benefiting the West Texas Food Bank. Today at Ratliff Ranch, 500 North Grandview Avenue, registration and breakfast begin at 7 a.m. and the tournament begins at 8 a.m. The tournament will be held in a four-man scramble format. Tickets cost $150 for individuals and $600 for teams of four. Call 432 563-1278 or visit tinyurl.com/75btrxry or tinyurl.com/yc8m7nzw. Lunch and lecture. The Permian Basin Petroleum Museum, 1500 I-20 Midland, has scheduled a lunch and lecture with Ken S. Durham from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. today. Admission is free. Lunch, drinks, and dessert are provided. Visit tinyurl.com/4vbuhm32. Free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center Hospital Family Health Clinic, West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screening from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. Parking in the parking lot will also take place from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. Foster, Adopt, Q, and A. Get involved. Permian Basin has scheduled a Foster, Adopt, Q&A event from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at Mid-Cities Church, 8700 Highway 191. Children in foster care are waiting for loving families to foster, adopt, advocate, and support them. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/4PR3DUFF. ESL classes. Crescent Park Baptist Church, 3002 East University Boulevard, will be offering ESL classes from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. every Tuesday, starting today in the Fellowship Hall. Call 432-366-4478. Salute to Kenny Rogers. Through the Years with Kenny Rogers Band featuring Don Gatlin has been scheduled for 7:30 p.m. today at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Visit wagnernoel.com. Literary Pumpkin. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled their Literary Pumpkin special event throughout September. Decorate a pumpkin, do not carve, or use a fake pumpkin as your favorite literary character. Bring it to the Children's Department for us to display through the month of October. There will be a chance to win a prize. To register or for more information, call Angela Gall at 432-332-0633, extension 2126, or email agaule@ector.lib.tx.us or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Odessan arrested on arson charge. A 49-year-old Odessa man was arrested Saturday on an arson charge after police found evidence he'd intentionally set his mattress on fire. According to an Odessa Police Department report, someone from the La Casa Bonita Apartments on North Dixie Boulevard called 911 around 7:30 p.m. Saturday to report a disturbance. When officers arrived, Karai Bali Chong's wife told them he'd locked himself inside a bedroom and was lighting things on fire, the report stated. When Bali Chong came outside, he told them he'd been lighting clothes on fire to call for help, and officers found a mattress was caught on fire, according to the report. Bali Chong was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of arson of a habitation, a Class 1 felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He remained in custody as of Monday morning and is being held on a $50,000 surety bond. Odessan arrested on felony drug charge. An Odessa man who authorities say tried to get back into a club after being kicked out ended up being arrested on a felony drug charge early Friday morning. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Brandon Alvarado, 23, was escorted out of the Rocks on East University Boulevard around 1:40 a.m. Friday after he tried to start a fight inside the club. An off-duty OPD officer working security told Alvarado not to come back after smelling alcohol on his person and seeing him staggering. A short time later, Alvarado came back to the club and tried to push past the officer and another security guard to get inside. When stopped, he started to take off his shirt so he could fight the guard, according to the report. When the officer tried to take Alvarado into custody, he resisted and eventually had to be tackled to the ground by the officer and other OPD officers who arrived on scene, the report stated. While searching Alvarado, officers found a total of 3.43 grams of cocaine in individual baggies in one of his front pockets, according to the report. Alvarado was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, more than 4 grams, less than 200 grams, resisting arrest, and public intoxication. The drug charge is a Class 2 felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting surety bonds totaling $32,312. Teen says three men raped her in Odessa. A 39-year-old El Paso man was arrested Thursday after a teenager told Odessa police she was raped by him and two other men. Odessa police received a call Thursday from a woman who asked officers to check on the welfare of a 17-year-old girl who ran away from home and who was currently at the MCM Grande Fundome Motel. According to the OPD report, when officers arrived, they found the girl hiding within a play slide, and she was disheveled, barefoot, intoxicated, and under the influence of marijuana. She told officers she'd been picked up in Midland earlier in the day, brought to the Fun Dome, and given alcohol and marijuana. The girl said three men she didn't know told her that if she didn't rehearse sex acts with them, they'd be taking her to El Paso, the report stated. After rehearsing the sex acts, the girl said all three strangers raped her, according to the report. She also said one of the men, identified as Andy Rosales, recorded the incidents on his cell phone. The teenager said two of the men fled after the rapes. According to the report, she said she used Rosales' phone to call someone to tell her what had happened after he passed out. Rosales told officers he only kissed the girl, but the other two men engaged in sex acts with her, the report stated. He later declined to speak further. The girl was taken to Medical Center Hospital, and Rosales was taken to the Ector County Jail. He was booked on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault and was released Saturday after posting a $75,000 surety bond. Police have not released the names of the other two suspects, ages 44 and 50. County set to lift burn ban. Court will also approve budget ad valorem tax rate. The Ector County Commissioner's Court is scheduled to hear a variety of matters during its regularly scheduled Tuesday meeting, which includes lifting a burn ban that has been in place since March. The court will also discuss adopting the budget from the 2022-23 fiscal year and the new ad valorem tax rate. These items and more will be discussed at 10 a.m. in the Commissioner's Courtroom at the Ector County Administration Annex, Room 120, 1010 East 8th Street. Ector County's burn ban was voted into place on March 22nd and extended on June 28th. At the beginning of August, the precipitation was 2.23 inches for the year. That changed over the last month as CBS 7 has reported more than 4 inches of precipitation during that time, while average temperatures have dropped by 7 degrees Fahrenheit. The commissioner's office has been receiving a multitude of phone calls asking if the burn ban has been lifted because of the increase in rainfall that we had during August. Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes said over the phone on Monday afternoon, "Based on the rainfall that we had and the conditions throughout the county, we feel that it is safe to lift this burn ban after speaking with Odessa Fire Rescue and volunteer fire departments." According to a map provided by the Texas A&M Forest Service, as of September 9th, all of the surrounding counties to Ector have burn bans. The closest counties that don't have burn bans are Loving, Reeves, and Pecos. Texas A&M Forest Service also lowered the wildfire fire preparedness level to level 1 on September 6. Texas A&M Forest Service details on its website, preparedness levels are dictated by fuel and weather conditions, fire activity, and fire suppression resource availability. Level 5 is the highest level of wildfire activity and indicates heavy resource commitment to fires locally. Commissioners will also consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to adopt the Ector County budget for fiscal year 2022-23. Ector County Auditor Randy Donner estimated the 2022-23 budget sits at $67,889,000, which is about a $2 million increase from what was estimated before budget hearings began on August 1st. Donner said there isn't one major cause of the increase, but a bunch of items added up. The court will also consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to adopt the 2022-23 ad valorem tax rate for Ector County. The ad valorem tax rate is set to go from 0.365 to 0.350. The county held its required hearing for the rate change last week, as the rate will still bring in more revenue than the previous year due to rising valuations. The court will also consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the use of the parking lot at the Ector County Coliseum on September 18th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. for a drive-through pay-what-you-can-afford vaccination clinic. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the utilization of the courthouse lawn and Sally Port on September 24th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. for West Texas Fest. Accept a donation of $4,385.16 from state enforcement partners to the Ector County Sheriff's Office. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding the price increase on paper towels and bathroom tissue 2, proposal number 2011-1301, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding a master service agreement between Lexapol and Ector County, and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding a contract between Permian Basin Community Centers, DBA, Permia Care, and Ector County for jail-based medical services and continuity of care services, and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding a contract between Permian Basin Community Centers, DBA, Permia Care, and Ector County for mental health deputy services, and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding change order number 2 for 67th Street Improvements, P.O. number 38409, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding reclassification of engineering technician position to construction inspector, and adjust budget accordingly. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to authorize road improvements on County Road 309 South Wheeler Road as presented in the paving and drainage construction plans designed by Landgraf, Kircher and Associates, dated August 8, 2022, and authorized the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to accept a donation of public road improvements for the upgrade of South Wheeler Road by Oxy Low Carbon Ventures, OLSV, and to accept maintenance of the public portion roadway after completion and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding plans, schedule, and estimate 4.27 miles of C&G along North Sycamore Drive curb and gutter along Sycamore Drive, and to engage Landgraf, Kircher and Associated, LCA, to provide all necessary PS&E for a fee of $28,140, and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on a proposed MHRC development to serve 183 Soto Avenue, 1 acre located in Soto Subdivision, Block 1, Lot 4, Precinct 1, Ector County, Texas. Joe Talamendez, and authorize the county judge to sign. Eddie Landrum, Planning and Development 15. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on a proposed MHRC development to serve 15,635 West Nugget, Munez, 10.3 acres, Section 26, Block 44, Precinct 1, Ector County, Texas, and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on Larinda Addition, being a replat of Lot 3, Block 6, Gardendale Subdivision, Ector County, Texas, and authorize the county judge to sign. Review, consider, discuss, approve, and take any necessary action regarding the following proposed consent agenda. Consider, discuss, and approve a line item transfer on general fund, senior centers, special department equipment, 001-630-5507 from contract services, 001-630-5309 for $5,600. B. Consider, discuss, and approve a line item transfer to general fund, cemetery equipment maintenance and repairs, 001-720-5247 from special department equipment, 001-720-5507 for $7,500. C. Consider, discuss, and approve a line item transfer to general fund, animal control, uniform supplies, 001-361-5176 for $982, to animal supplies and expense, 001-361-5198 for $2,500 from sheriff departmental furniture and equipment, 001-360-5199 for $3,482. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve a budget amendment to general fund library, library supplies, 001-690-5185, and to donated revenues, 001-4171 for $5,000. Consider and approve the accounts payable fund requirements report for September 13, 2022 to review county financial statements and reports.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.